Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, hour number two right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Let's get into hour seven in seven top headlines here, starting off with the NBA Finals, where the Phoenix Suns take a 2-0 series lead, protecting home court, covering in another over 118-108. Devin Booker leading the way, Donnie, with 31 points in the win.
Fantastic stuff here. 31 points, obviously, as you said, out of Devin Booker, 23 out of Chris Paul, 27 out of Mikal Bridges. Everything worked out in their favor last night. Another double-digit victory for the Suns as we move home court back to Milwaukee. They'll get a boost, as we said, from the home court advantage here. How much of a boost, we'll find out. But if we get anything close to what we've seen out of Giannis in the first two games, and maybe, Kevin, he plays 43 minutes in the next game, I wonder what his point shares would be, probably approaching 30 points at this point, Kevin.
It's going to continue to rise as he scored 42 points in 40 minutes of work, was the only starter for Milwaukee for the second straight game to register a positive plus minus. Middleton, Holiday needing to step up, but Phoenix continuing to get big contributions, not just from their stars, but as Donnie mentioned, Mikal Bridges having 27 points, a phenomenal effort from him. But moving through our headlines, the depth continuing to take a hit here for Phoenix. They lost Dario Saric in game number one. We do not have an official update yet, but coming out of game number two, Torrey Craig leaving injured, Donnie.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too bad of an injury. It looks like, you know, knee-to-knee contact, which is extremely painful, and a bone bruise could keep you out for a couple games, or maybe even a ligament sprain or some damage there might end your season altogether. We look at the starting five, and we really like it for the Suns. They work well with each other. You have the grimy guys like Jay Crowder. You have Ayton doing some damage down low, and then you have some elite guard play. But now you're seeing that bench shrink here, where Saric used to come in and give you a couple good minutes as a veteran. Obviously, as we saw, you know, Torrey Craig coming in, giving you veteran minutes in a team that he knows quite well, the Milwaukee Bucks, for having played for them. But now you slip it down. You have, you know, Cam Johnson, campaign, which is great. But after that, there's not much behind. So, Kevin, it almost turns into like a high school basketball rotation where you might be going eight deep here where you can get legitimate play, but maybe more likely seven. We'll see as that goes forward in a season, in a series, because it's a full seven games here. You can wear down if you're playing way too many minutes. We've seen it before. We'll find out what happens next, but hopefully get a good injury update on Torrey Craig being back and able to play for the Suns.
Again, a season defined by injuries. It is unsurprising to see more of them pop up throughout these finals. As Donnie mentioned, though, the good thing for the Phoenix Suns is they are two wins away from their season being complete. With what the ultimate goal is, they can shrink those rotations most likely if need be. We transition to Major League Baseball. We mentioned Phillies, Cubs. We could see some left-handed bombs. Bryce Harper. But in front of Bryce Harper at plus 260 was Brad Miller. I pondered, why? So much more likely to hit a home run than Bryce Harper. Donnie said, don't be foolish. When he's in, he brings it. Boy, did he bring it. Three home runs for Brad Miller yesterday, Donnie, and the Phils 8-0 victory at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, big win for the Phillies here as they climb one game closer to 500 here, which then sends the organization into that, oh boy, fight or flight here, meaning are we going to really press down, increase our payroll, and try to make a playoff run, or just stand back and see how everything shakes out? But it's funny because your initial comment last night, Kevin, was, hey, why is Brad Miller's odds a little bit better than Bryce Harper's? Well, we found out, didn't we, Kevin?
Yeah, we sure did. We sure did. Let's welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to everybody listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio and all of our radio affiliates out there going through our 7 and 7 top headlines. Continuing with Major League Baseball, Julio Urías of the LA Dodgers gets his league-leading 11th victory of the season as the Dodgers avoid a sweep at the hands of the Miami Marlins with a 6-1 victory.
Doesn't that sound odd? The Dodgers avoided a sweep, not were able to complete the sweep versus the Marlins. So some bizarro world baseball here in 2021, but it is what it is. How about this? 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 9 Ks on only 2 walks, a clean, easy victory, 6-1 on, yes, the league leader in wins, Julio Urías. We'll see how they head into the, you know, all-star break here, what that pitching rotation is going to turn out to be once it's official, what is going to happen with Trevor Bauer. But that's a nice start. Also looking on the horizon here, how about having a guy that's making like $100 million on your bench and David Price going to enter in to the pitching equation now for the Los Angeles Dodgers? The rich get richer, Kevin. Urías, great start.
Absolutely. How about UFC this weekend? Conor McGregor returns to the octagon as McGregor-Poirier 3, Donnie, is heating up.
Not even a title fight, but look at this. We can't wait for this, right? Every time Conor McGregor takes the stage, even if he hasn't won a significant fight in a few years, it's must-see TV over the weekend. I'm excited for this matchup. The trilogy, will we have an ending that we want? A quick knockout, a 5-round battle. We'll see what happens here, but it's interesting that it's not actually for a title, but this is the fight we all want to see.
Tremendous quote that they posted on the video side for people there. McGregor basically deciding that every win or fight in MMA that is not decided by knockout does not count. You can tell, though, he is coming for heads this weekend. We're going to break that fight down a little bit more here in the hour. Sticking with the fight game, COVID pushing back Fury Wilder 3 was supposed to take place this summer. Looks like, Donnie, it'll be taking place in October.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to have to push that one back here. A little bit of a tough luck here for boxing overall as we leave it up to the YouTubers and the retired fighters to carry that fighting crown, Kevin.
Let's get some real fighters back in the ring, please. Please, please, please. Last one, by the way, Mahomes feeling good, according to him. Feeling great, in fact. Ahead of training camp, big news there. The MVP favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 500. We take a break here in the early line. Come on back. Break down Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, time to break into this Major League Baseball board. There's a game in the NL Central that we didn't get to during Hot or Not, but we can break it down now and can even kind of talk about the topic around this series between the Cubs and the Cardinals, Donnie. Again, two teams that had different moments where they looked like, I don't know about the team to beat. The Cardinals started the season as the favorite, and the Cubs were piping hot at one point. Both right now, 43-45. Sub 500, 9.5 back of the Milwaukee Brewers. Before we get to this game, the hot or not question we were going to ask is, should the loser of this series be a seller at the deadline?
Now, see, it's an interesting topic that you bring up here, because usually sellers at the deadline are teams that don't have deep pockets, don't have good organizations. Look, we're going to lose this guy in free agency. We have no chance of signing him back. Let's replenish our farm system. You're taking a look at the big money Cubs, and not a huge money Cardinals team, but they do spend and have a wonderful organization. So we're led to believe, Kevin, it didn't work out over the last 3 weeks. Let's sell our better guys and try to rebuild. It just doesn't make much sense. If it was maybe, you know, Tampa Bay, Kansas City Royals, Pittsburgh Pirates, the teams that aren't notorious out here for spending, then it makes a lot more sense. So I want to say they should be sellers, but then I say to myself, well, why are you selling? You don't expect to be good again next year just because of a few bad weeks that's going to ruin the next 3 years of baseball in St. Louis to Chicago? I don't buy they should be sellers. Except some of the circumstances like Chris Bryant, where I want $300 million. The Cubs like, we're just not going to pay you that. That I understand. But segueing it back into the series here between St. Louis and Chicago, game today takes place 2:20 in Chicago today. And this goes to show you the level of should you be buyers or sellers. Wade LeBlanc is on the mound for the Cardinals. Nothing seems to go right from a front end of the rotation. And now you're just using guys to say, get us a couple innings. Hopefully you pitch well. 5.52 xFIP on the season. Absolutely gets hammered by right-handed bats. And that's what you're going to have stacked up against you today for the Chicago Cubs. So advantage Cubs today, even though maybe both of these teams should be sellers. But as I just said, it doesn't make any sense for me to them to be sellers. Cubs minus 168 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It is a heavy price. But are you saying, hey, boy, this is the dog I've been waiting for? Wade LeBlanc on the mound? Not me, Kevin.
So on the first point of it all, I agree with Donnie. I don't think this should dictate it. First, like, the Cardinals just brought in Nolan Arenado. You're not getting rid of Goldschmidt or, you know, Tommy Edman. They're going to just push forward. I think no matter what happens here, the Cubs could sweep the Cardinals. I still think they need to trade Chris Bryant because he's not coming back. And at this point, your sub 500 just feels futile to hold on to him. So I don't actually think this series should dictate that for either one of these teams. As far as today's game goes, I wanted to make this point on Kyle Hendricks. Because we started this season, man, Kyle Hendricks not very good. ERA approaching an 8. He had two starts against Atlanta in which he was not able to go more than 4 innings and gave up 7 earned runs in both of those starts. Both of those came in April. They happened. I'm not saying that they didn't happen. But if you did remove them for Kyle Hendricks this season, he would sit there over his 17 or his 15 other starts with a 10-2 record and an ERA, Donnie, at 2.77. Outside of Atlanta dominating this guy, Kyle Hendricks has actually been his usual excellent ace self for this Cubs team.
Yeah, XFIP a little bit high this season, 4.59, but let's take a look at where he gets damaged, Kevin. Keep in mind he's a right-handed pitcher going up against lefties this season, 181 plate appearances from lefties, a 374 weighted on base average, and also a 247 ISO power number. Both of those elevated, but good for him today, Kyle. Why is that? Carlson is a lefty. Edmund is a lefty. The rest are right-handed batters. So as long as he navigates those two lefties, he should put on a good performance today. And again, not really where I want to spend my money on a dog is taking the Cardinals at plus 142 at the FanDuel Sportsbook with LeBlanc on the mound. Cubs should be able to win this game. But then again, did you see the Cubs versus the Phillies? Whew, good luck on this one.
Speaking of the Phils, they go to Fenway Park to take on Garrett Richards and the Boston Red Sox. Yanks fans, AL East fans, hoping that this Phillies team can maybe continue to drop some results in the bucket. Boston let a couple of slip out on their West Coast trip with the Angels here. Donnie, what do you make of the Phils and Velasquez taking the mound here at Fenway?
Yeah, it's an interesting one here. You should get decent weather. Now, we do know the storm that they're traveling up the East Coast. It looks like it should be cleared out due to a fast-moving storm. Not going to get those muggy hitting conditions, Kevin, that we do like. But take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Red Sox has a favorite of minus 126, a total of 10.5. Why is that? You have two fly ball pitchers in this game. And also, let's remind ourselves, Garrett Richards pitching above his pay grade early in the season. The doctoring of the baseballs, Major League Baseball stepping in and checking, he has been a shell of his former self. Look at that xFIP number, 5.42, an equal opportunity bad pitcher. What do I mean by that? Both lefties and righties are taking advantage of Richards. 156 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, a 366 weighted on base average. And from the right-hand side, a 366 weighted on base average. Yes, I didn't repeat myself. That is the same exact number here. So whether you are a lefty or righty, you can take full advantage. Look at Bryce Harper in the middle of that lineup as a lefty today, Kevin. Entering in versus right-handed pitchers, a 324 ISO power number and a 408 weighted on base number. We should get runs tonight on both sides of the equation.
And specifically, the Phillies will be interesting. Garrett Richards' last start, he went five innings and only gave up two runs, was the first time in his four prior starts where he didn't give up at least four earned runs. So if Garrett Richards is going to say, let's just say he goes five innings and gives up four earned, which for him is like fine, you're one run away from getting to that five team total of the Phillies, who has basically just averaged 10 runs a game at Wrigley Field. That lineup back healthy, I think the Phils and their team total tonight will be a very, very interesting play here. Continuing to move throughout this board, I want to quickly bring up Yanks and Astros. There's no lines available just yet. Projected pitchers, Nestor Cortes getting the ball for the Yankees, Jake Odorizzi getting the ball for the Houston Astros here. The question more so, Donnie, again, is just about the feeling around this series. Do you think that Houston fan base comes out there, supports their cheating superstars, and gives the Yankees, kind of that big feel to it all? Do you think the Astros will still be up for the series here? Can the Yankees actually, respond and win a couple big games?
Yeah, it's a big series here, and there's another. We might have a whole nother show next week during the Major League Baseball break here as they head into the All-Star game, why the Astros aren't actually showing up to the All-Star game, even though they're voted in, but we'll talk about that later. Let's look at this series here. If you are a Yankee fan, this should have been a much more exciting series a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, saying, hey, look, right before the deadline here, ooh, it's going to be a battle of first-place teams. Let's see if we can extend it and show them, like, hey, we see in the playoffs we have the edge over you. Not so much the case from a Yankees perspective, and even if you're looking at for the Yankees moving forward, maybe you wanted a lesser opponent so you can get those good vibes going into the All-Star break, because this could be disaster for the Yankees and send a lot of bad feelings up to management with Brian Cashman. Let's just say the Yankees go down here, Kevin, in the series and get swept here. Does their manager make it till the second half of the season starts? Are they already on the phones trying to wheel and deal and trade some guys? But on the flip side of it here, what happens if the Yankees go down and take this series versus the Houston Astros? And do you send management saying, look, we had a bad first half. We have the pedigree. We have the players. We'll wake up in the second half. Get us a big-time left-handed bat, Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs, or somebody like that to help bolster this lineup. We can make a run. So a tale of two sides here. The Astros will be fine either way, but this is a monumental series for the front office for the New York Yankees because, again, you're going to get a week to ponder what you should do before coming back on Thursday Night Baseball and playing the Red Sox.
Such an excellent point. Such an excellent point. Is this is going to be the last thing that they will all see going into that break, is how they stack up against arguably the best team in the American League. You go out there, take two out of three, okay, you get swept, we can stop this straight. And by the way, if they get swept, which is not inconceivable, they would enter the All-Star break sub 500. The Yankees at the All-Star break, sub 500. I also just wanted to quickly bring up here, Alex Cobb is on the mound for the Angels. As Donnie has continued to talk more and more about XFIP, I love this guy. His XFIP is excellent. His ERA is terrible. I think the Angels are a nice maybe money line play if you're dabbling.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep things moving here on the early line. Give you some take it or leave it. A lot of good options on the board. One more carryover from Major League Baseball. The Dodgers heading back home with a three-game set against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Donnie, take it or leave it. The Dodgers will sweep the Diamondbacks here in this three-game set.
It's very hard to sweep a team in Major League Baseball. Having said that, absolutely, I'm taking the Dodgers to sweep the Diamondbacks. If this isn't one of these performances, Kevin, where the Dodgers are honed in, they're trying to win a division, they're trying to leave some really good vibes here heading into the All-Star break versus a team, Kevin, that, quote me if I'm wrong, doesn't play well directly on the road, but I can almost guarantee these guys have so many plans over the All-Star break that they are just looking to catch that jet out on Sunday and just enjoy some Vegas time, some Cabo San Lucas, or just to get away from baseball at this point for how disappointing that first half is. If one team should be focused, it's the Dodgers. If one team can't wait to get to the golf course, it's the Diamondbacks. Sweep them. Get out the broom.
First of all right, okay. I cannot believe that the Diamondbacks do not have the worst road record in baseball. What the Rockies are doing is outrageous. Secondly, the Diamondbacks are 30 and a half games back. We haven't even hit the All-Star break. But also, to Donnie's point, yeah, I absolutely think the Dodgers are going to get a sweep here. Because, yes, we're hitting the All-Star break, but they still are chasing the Giants. This is an opportunity for them after dropping three games out of four to Miami. Seal the deal, lock it up at home. I'm not sure if you can play open-ended parlays on FanDuel, but if you can, open the thing up, boom, put the Dodgers in night one, put them in night two, and put them in night three if plausible. And I think you might be able to walk yourself home a nice little winner there on the LA Dodgers. We go over to Euro 2020 this weekend. It's England. It's Italy. Is it coming home? That is the big-time question here. The odds to win Euro 2020 have continued to move, but we'll make it nice and simple here, Donnie. Take it or leave it. England to win the whole thing.
Now, being a soccer guy, I should know when the next tournament is, but this should not be England to win Euro 2020 minus 115. The question is not this one, which England already has wrapped up, is 2024 England should be minus 115 to win that Euro Cup as well as a World Cup. Kevin, this is the English we're talking about. This is Wembley Stadium. This is people that I don't know what the ticket amounts that they are going to play on this Sunday final. But if I can leave you with one thing, I don't have to say take it or leave it, Kevin. I'm just going to tell you this. It is coming home. It is coming home. Tell the world it's coming home. England is winning this.
And also, just remember, Donnie basically discovered English football. I agree. Yeah. Look, I've thought that this would be England's tournament. I know this Italian side is absolutely wonderful. I do think they've suffered some injury throughout the tournament there. And the thing is, the calling card of that Italian side has been their clean sheets. I know some people think that the idea that England being able to not basically be scored on in this tournament is not as true to form, perhaps some luck there, but they've got a strong back line. They've got an attacking squad that's been very, very potent here. Harry Kane, well in form. And by the way, little cross promotion here for you. I've already set up our guy, Ben Scott Stevens, to figure it out for us how they are going to handle the top goal scorer payout markets, because they are always joined on their Fridays by John Sheeran. So we're going to get the answer and figure out if we need to be getting involved with Patrick Schick or Ronaldo or Harry Kane. Though also, we might end up tipping them off to something, which then again, maybe we'll never have the opportunity to take advantage of. That would be phenomenal. If all of a sudden, John Drew's like, wait, what? And he has to pull the plug on the segment there. But we'll see and we'll figure that out. So the morning after, we'll be on the case for us there. All right, let's bring in game number three of the NBA Finals into Take It or Leave It here. A lot of good options on the board. A lot of things moving already here from the early lines that have been established. We will start it off simply, Donnie. Take it or leave it. The Bucks cover game number three.
I do think the Bucks cover game number three. And also, we're seeing an increase now. Live look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A minus four now showing up for the Bucks. A lot of money coming in. So I guess we're anticipating that home court advantage being a ridiculous effort from the fans of the Bucks. I do think they cover. So I'm going to take this, that the Bucks win game three, because I think they throw the kitchen sink and much more at the Phoenix Suns. The crowd's going to be ready. Giannis, again, another few more days off to get that knee healthy. But also keep in mind as well on this one, just looked at the FanDuel Sportsbook on odds for points, and I'm saying it's going to approach, how about 32.5, Kevin, for Giannis Antetokounmpo in game three. That is his points prop number. He's probably going to approach that, probably hitting it. And if he does that, Kevin, there's a very good shot that the Bucks are going to win. But having said that, the three ball is the great equalizer. If Middleton and Holiday aren't scoring and they're not knocking down threes, they can't win this game. But I still do think the Bucks get their victory in game three to make it a 2-1 series.
So, first of all, definitely take it on Milwaukee. I feel good about this team moving back to Milwaukee. I understand that things have been frustrating thus far in Phoenix. But again, they have not had overly consistent performances. Giannis has been great. But he wasn't otherworldly in game number one. He only played 35 minutes and only gave him 20 points, and Drew Holiday was bad in both games. Middleton, awful in game number two. It is not as if, because this is where sometimes, again, process, results, this is not Milwaukee running up against the wall, playing their best basketball and being outmatched. There's definitely an increase in play that Milwaukee can provide, in shot making that Milwaukee can provide, as Donnie mentioned. I think they cover. Now, the next one here in Take It or Leave It was the idea that Giannis would score 30-plus points. This was not listed last night when I put this together, so there weren't odds for it. Donnie, this is minus 215. These are full 100% back lines on Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32.5. What do you make of these Giannis points props here as we look to Take It or Leave It?
I mean, watching the first two games, I see the 32.5, Kevin, and usually it's say, you know, the sharper mind, like, oh, well, he's going to have a really good game to get that. What has shown us that Giannis isn't just going to take full control once again at home? Even with a big body in the paint like DeAndre Ayton, it doesn't seem to matter. He's getting wherever he wants to and also getting to the free throw line. What, it was 11 of 18 last night? So shooting 18 free throws along with being dominant. You don't need much of a mid-range game or a three-point game if you're working with that type of efficiency. My first glance is, oh my goodness, it's 32.5. But right when I view that, Kevin, you know what I'm taking a look at saying, yes, that makes sense. He's going to approach mid-30s. If they want to win this game, Kevin, he's got to be in the mid-30s. He's got to approach 40. That's not even to win. That's to have a chance at winning. So if Giannis doesn't hit this points prop, are we led to believe that Chris Middleton is going to have like 35 points or 30? I don't think so. Giannis to score 30-plus points here in this game? Absolutely, I'm taking that.
I'm going to throw out three options. Because, see, on the Giannis thing, it's you can play it over. But, like, last game, Donnie was all over the Giannis, 26.5, 27.5, the double-double stuff, and it slammed, and the value was there. Donnie was like, yeah, minus 410 to record a double-double, I think that's value. And I'm sure people were like, minus 410, closed at minus 700. It was value. The Giannis numbers are now, boom, fully established here, right? So you now have to just try and figure out the way these games are going to flow. Player performance doubles are also up right now for game number three. This is why I love the NBA Finals. Everything is up and you can break it down for a while. Donnie, of these three, which is the most attractive to you considering payout and, of course, likelihood to cash? Giannis for 30-plus and a win, plus 138. Middleton, 25-plus and a win, plus 200. Drew Holiday, 20-plus and a win, plus 220.
You know, it's interesting. I probably would lean towards Giannis and also Drew Holiday. But then again, do we come back on Middleton now that he's home, Kevin, and we're playing? You know, forget the zigzag theory on taking the game straight up. Are we doing zigzag theory here on Middleton having bad games combined with good games here? I still do lean towards Giannis because I think Giannis is the linchpin here. If he plays extremely well, that means a great chance for the Bucks to win. Because conversely, you can still have a good Middleton game and a good Holiday game. But if you don't get a great Giannis game, I don't think it matters all that much. Those are the two ways I'll be leaning here, Kev. What are you thinking?
I think Chris Middleton has to play well. Because, like, I know Giannis will. I'm done with Drew Holiday. Like, if Middleton doesn't get to 25, Bobby Portis came alive. Like, how are they winning this game? Brooke Lopez went back to the 30-point random score without any threes made. I still can't believe that he scored 35 points and didn't make any threes. That doesn't make any sense to me, and it still breaks my heart. It is what it is, though. On Brooke Lopez there. Middleton is the one that jumps out to me. Like, Middleton, I think the zigzag, as you mentioned, could make some sense here. One more NBA for Take It or Leave It, Donnie. A third straight over to cash in this series. Again, the line's moving from when we were looking at it yesterday, 222.5, now down to 221.5. What do you think here? Third straight over?
I'm thinking it as well, because the one thing keeping you, I mean, they still got over, but we don't see great shooting performances out of Milwaukee. Again, coming home, eyesight, you know, shooting range, comfortability in your own building. I think they're going to improve on the three-point numbers, but why should I assume that the Suns now are no longer going to be able to shoot the basketball? They got some flamethrowers from three-point range. Why not a third straight over? It makes sense. I'm taking it, Kevin.
I totally agree. We talked about starting this series off from a position of the over. I know there's a lot of underbettors out there right now who feel like they're being robbed because of late foul games or late pushes. That's basketball. It's the NBA Finals. What did you think? They weren't going to foul? They weren't going to push it till the final whistle? What were you expecting? I think if you've also come in for two straight overs to start this series, We've talked about it at times. You just want to try to make betting simple on yourself here. You're 2-0 on a nice trend. Go for 3-0. I totally agree. We bring up a UFC odds boost as we get ready to break down UFC 264. Nolan King set to join the show here and help us break it all down. Donnie, Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show, to win the first round knockout, paying out a plus 150 on a nice FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost.
Yeah, three of his last four fights here, Kevin, only went one round, put on a show for the people in Las Vegas. I think he could get done here. So if we're asking, look, you're asking me to take or leave a plus 150 on the table as a UFC guy, I'm absolutely taking this, Kevin. Let's get a knockout. Round one, end it, and cash that ticket at plus 150. Are you crazy, Kevin? I'm passing this up. Nope, nope, nope.
Also, he's minus 1,000 to win the fight. I think the way you lose this bet is Sean O'Malley's like, I'll wait till the second round, which if that happens, then so be it. We take a break. We come on back and we continue to break down the UFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Friday morning, getting us set for the weekend, which we will have a big-time UFC pay-per-view, UFC 264. Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, the trilogy, the rubber match. We're going to figure out who breaks this thing down. The odds are way different than the last time they met. And to help us break it down is Nolan King of USA Today's MMA Junkie. Nolan, thanks for joining the show.
Kevin, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome stuff here, man. So listen, the first time that these guys met, a lot of the talk was obviously the first go-around, right? They fought at 145. Conor McGregor correctly predicts the knockout. It started a lot of all the Mystic Mac, right? We go into this second fight here. Dustin knots this thing up. Right now, Dustin Poirier is the favorite to win the third fight. Do you think that Dustin Poirier has figured out Conor McGregor? How do you see this matchup playing out here at UFC 264?
It's really interesting. You know, if history has told us anything, it's that the fighter that wins the second fight in a trilogy usually wins the third fight, right? So, and a lot of it has to do with the passage of time, when guys meet. I mean, the first meeting between Conor and Dustin was 7 years ago, so they were totally different fighters. Now, I mean, they're fighting, what is it, 6 months after their second meeting? So there's a lot of, they're at similar points, right? There's only 6 months that's gone by. So for me, I mean, Dustin, I think, has figured out a lot of the things that he needs to. I think he's become mentally stronger, as we saw at yesterday's bizarre press conference, which I'll get into in a second. But to me, I mean, Dustin showed in that first fight a lot of different weapons that he didn't have. In the second fight, he showed a lot of weapons that he did not have in the first fight. He showed composure. He showed strong mental will. He showed the ability to kind of not get fazed by McGregor's big punches. He utilized leg kicks, which apparently wasn't even a big part of his game plan, but just worked out really well for him and ended up being the major weapon. So I do think that he's figured out a lot of what McGregor, brought him in the first fight that he couldn't figure out, but there's still some concerns that I have, and one of them is Conor's punching power. I mean, the guy literally just needs to land one shot in that first round and it's over. And Dustin did walk into a couple punches and survive, luckily for him, in that second fight. But to me, when you have those weapons, when you're Conor McGregor and you can end a fight at any moment, that is such a valuable tool to have. So I think if Dustin escapes the first couple of rounds, it should go in his favor. He should have a better gas tank. But that's a big ask. You know, he did it in the second fight, but who's to say that Conor can't, you know, his punch can't be 3 inches further to the right, you know, than it was in the second matchup and knock Dustin Poirier out.
Nolan King joining us this morning to talk a little bit of UFC action. I am huge, you know, not so much a UFC guy, but I love big events. We're now getting back to Vegas where it's going to be a sold-out crowd, and we know how much these fighters feed off the crowd, particularly Conor McGregor. But basically over the last year, what, fighting on sound stages here, but now you're getting the instant feedback from the crowd. The reason why this is a main event and it's not even a title belt. Talk to us a little bit of how the crowd might be able to affect the fighters, because now you get that instant feedback from 15 to 20,000 people where maybe you were just hearing a couple people cheering in a certain sections or maybe even your corner. The bigness of the event and the return here, Nolan.
Yeah, you segued perfectly here, and we saw it yesterday at the press conference with just the pops that McGregor got. I mean, it was one of his worst press conference performances ever, and the mental warfare, the feeding off the energy of the crowd is so such a big part of this sport. I don't think that people necessarily understand, and I think in the absence of the past year of having that, it's become even, you know, more of an obvious thing to fighters when they're in there. A lot of them say, oh, I block it out, I don't, but I see it. I mean, we've seen times that wrestlers, people that don't have good boxing, will all of a sudden throw down because the fans are going nuts. And if you look at the April pay-per-view the UFC had in Jacksonville, their first fight back with fans, and then the one in May in Houston, there were fighters that were lower tier, you know, fighters that nobody necessarily knew much about in the audience, and they still were getting major pops. So for Dustin, who struggled with the mental warfare in that first matchup, I'm interested to see how he performs in front of such what seems like a big pro McGregor crowd in the first major combat sports event that's been held in Las Vegas in front of an audience. That is a big stage to come back to from fighting.
All right, there.
Looks like Nolan just dropped out there for a second. We'll sort him back. And I want to just mention, though, something he's talking about there with the mental warfare aspect. Conor McGregor walked into that second fight. You could tell significantly different approach than what we had seen from him before. Everything was very humble, very gracious. I'm making donations to Dustin Poirier's charities. I'm so excited share the octagon with him. I have my family here. Everything's lovely, right? Everything was just humble. And it almost carried over into the fight. This is the one thing that I've maintained to people. I do not hide this. I am a massive Conor McGregor fan. As I've been told time and time, oh, he got whooped by Poirier, got whooped by Poirier, got whooped by Poirier. Conor McGregor walked Dustin Poirier in that first round. I mean, he absolutely dog-walked him, and then his leg fell apart because Dustin Poirier had the kicks. So as we bring you back into the fold, dear Nolan, my question to you is the difference in approach for Conor McGregor. Does that jump off as noticeable to you as it feels like it does for Donnie and I when we're watching McGregor kind of shift back to maybe the old-school, in-your-face antics?
It's weird, right? Because he is doing that, but at the same time, it seems very forced. It seems very non-authentic. And we saw that it was like a greatest hits of Conor McGregor at that press conference yesterday, just blurting out famous things that he had said over the years, you know, different lines that he had used in the past. So it was very odd. So I guess it's interesting, right? Again, you have to get into the psyche of a fighter. Is him playing up this character, is that going to help him be that person? Is it going to help him have those type of performances? And that's what we don't know. I think it was a smart move to go mean again. I think it was a smart move to try to get inside Dustin's head. But I almost feel like after yesterday's press conference, it kind of came back to bite him. I mean, by the end of that, Poirier seemed to have his number with the trash talk. And I don't think that's necessarily a position that Conor's ever been in. So maybe it'll work for him internally. Maybe he'll be able to bring back a vintage performance by trying to be that vintage guy. But yesterday, I thought it came off really odd, and man, I'm not really sure how much that will actually translate into the fight.
Nolan, Conor McGregor, an extremely confident guy, as we all know, but also taking a look past about the UFC, Conor McGregor's made a lot of money over the years, but it's not really about beating elite-level fighters in the octagon. So now he's going to take one on here. Once again, we're all looking forward to it. Maybe that mental lapse or not being as sharp, because some of these fighters going every 6 to 8 months fighting elite-level content. We see him, you know, with a liquor business now, fighting boxing matches, maybe not all that focused. Talk about that a little bit here, where maybe he needs to get that mental edge back, because it's been a while since he defeated a big time fighter.
For sure, you know, and the some of the questioning in that press conference yesterday was really odd, and kind of unprofessional, but one of the media members that got up said, hey, you've only won one fight since Barack Obama as president. And that's true. I mean, and Conor's only competed a handful of times in that span. So I think activity is so important. It's the name of the game. And for him to kind of take this quick turnaround fight, I think is pretty big for him. I think just being in the mindset of a fighter, not having to focus on other things. And sure, he still has his businesses. He still is a celebrity who does a lot of different things. But I think it's been nice to see him finally just have a quick turnaround. You know, even with the pandemic, like that was the quickest turnaround he's had. It was a year. So it's nice to have him fight again in this calendar year against the same guy. And just like Dustin, Dustin and Conor are similar. They can both make adjustments from that first fight. So seems like McGregor went back to the drawing board and did the right things. We'll see if that happens actually in the cage on Saturday.
It's going to be fun to watch it play out here. Nolan, I want to kind of rapid fire run through the rest of this main card here. There's a lot of big names. It'll start with the Sugar Show, Sean O'Malley, a replacement fight here. He is a massive, massive favorite. Really, it seems like the question is either will Sean O'Malley finish this immediately or could we be in for a possible massive upset here, Nolan?
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you looked at the matchups that were on the table for Sean O'Malley's replacement, I think, no offense to Chris Martino, but I think this is a matchup that really plays into Sean's hand. Chris Martino is a guy from my area, from the Boston area. I've seen him fight a bunch of times locally. He is very much a very confident fighter, and sometimes it comes back to bite him. From the time he was a young professional, he always wanted to take on the toughest, the champs, you know, everybody regionally. Kind of bit off more than he could chew at times, and sometimes in the cage too. You know, he just charged right at his opponent, very confident, and he'd end up paying. So O'Malley's going to have somebody that's not afraid of him, which that will be interesting, right? Because that would be what you would think a newcomer. Oh, the big lights, the big stage, a guy with knockout power. He's going to be kind of timid. I don't think Chris Martino is going to be very timid. I think he's going to come right at Sean O'Malley. But I think that's also kind of a mistake, right? To get overzealous with a guy with phenomenal striking, who's had a full camp, who's on the verge of the rankings, very long, very unusual matchup that you're taking on short notice. So I do think Chris will be aggressive, but I do think Sean will get him out of there. Martino has been knocked out. He's been finished before. And I expect Sean O'Malley to do that on Saturday night.
Nolan, take a look at Dana White, being that mad scientist and also slightly genius as well. We always want to see fights that actually make the crowd have a response. We obviously know that the main event is going to be wonderful with Conor McGregor, but taking a look at Greg Hardy fighting here, because not necessarily coming out as being a fan favorite, to say the least, but we know there will be eyes on the fight just because he is fighting this one. Talk a little bit about that one here, because Greg Hardy is a +112 here underdog at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but also having him on that card and the reaction maybe of a sold out crowd in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's why he's in this placement in the card. If you know, for fans maybe that are a little more casual, it gives them some other name to know that they can watch and be entertained by. And I think if this fight ends early, it'll have that entertaining effect. If not, we could be in for a long one. We could be in for one that kind of brings the tempo down of the entire event. But in terms of a matchup, Greg Hardy is kind of a project, right? And you look at his last fight against Marcin Tybura, the first round, one of the best rounds that he's put on as a professional, just really going at, firing on all cylinders, really sharp. And then the second round, he comes out, gets taken down, and just has no cardio left. So very odd, very hard to predict this guy. In terms of his past fights, every single guy that he's beaten in the UFC is no longer on the roster. And then everybody that he's lost to, I believe, is still on the roster. So it's hard to place him, and I think this is good matchmaking. Tai Tuivasa obviously gives up, you can see in their physiques, a lot of athleticism in this fight. I do lean with Tai. I think he's just proven himself a little bit more. But if Greg Hardy can get his cardio issues under control and show what he showed in that first round against Marcin Tybura for the entire fight, I think he wins.
Awesome, awesome stuff. That's Nolan King of USA Today's MMA Junkie. Thanks so much for joining us, Nolan, here. Enjoy the fights this weekend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome stuff once again there from Nolan King. Make sure you guys follow him over on Twitter, at MMA Kings. I mean, Donnie, all set here, man. A lot of good fights here. McGregor back in action. I'm pumped up for this.
I mean, you talk about McGregor in action, followed by Euro 2020 on Sunday, NBA Finals, Major League Baseball, all the way across the board. What is there not? Do we have an early line on Saturday, Kevin? Do I hear it? Do we?
Hey, now, listen, don't give Big MC any ideas, man. He's already trying to he's busy right now figuring out the dimensions of Yankee Stadium. He's got a lot on his plate here. I'll tell you this, though. We're absolutely back. I love this stuff here. A McGregor, a big fight. He's a dog. Sign me up. The people are into it everywhere. Here in the building, the Donnie Wright side household, down in the office, Brian's into it. Everybody is ready to roll. I cannot wait. Coming up next, Ariel joins Donnie to let you know what's next on the Monday After.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day and also the last segment of the week right here on the early line. What a week it was and what a fantastic weekend that is going to be setting up here for us. Stay tuned. Over the next 3 hours, we got you covered right here on the Sports Grid Network. The Morning After with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. Three action-packed hours getting you ready for this weekend's action. Now, also, what we talked about on the show today, the NBA Finals, they'll take place on Sunday. We're going to have Euro 2020 Final, England and Italy on Sunday as well. The card packed for Major League Baseball as we head into the All-Star break. And since I have a minute here, I want to talk about those Houston Astros. Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa opting out of the All-Star game so they don't go into enemy territory, which is anywhere but Houston. To get booed? Come on, guys. You got to show up. The fans voted you in. We expect to see our superstars in the All-Star game. But I could go on for hours and hours, but I need to bring in Ariel Epstein to set the stage for the Morning After coming up here with Ben Stevens. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning, Donnie. Happy Friday. Crazy day in the NBA yesterday. We've got a 2-0 series lead for the Phoenix Suns. I'm sure you've been talking about it all show long for the last 2 hours with Kevin. I'm really excited to see what happens when we go to Milwaukee now.
Yeah, it will be interesting because we saw the fans explode in Phoenix. They take the 2-0 series lead, but now you head back to Milwaukee. Watching the telecast last night, Ariel, we had thousands of people outside the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee and also thousands inside. They are ready. It's not like they see an NBA Finals game every other year. It's been quite a time. Giannis Antetokounmpo seems healthy. What do you think happens actually in Game 3? Could we be looking at a Bucks victory here?
We could. I could see this series ending similarly to how we saw it with the Nets, not necessarily resulting in a Bucks win. However, the Bucks keeping this series alive.
That'll do it for the early line here. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Wall. Stay tuned for the Morning After right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on...
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.